Whew. Got here. It's good. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. Yeah, it's great. I'm going to take a minute and explain to those who are here, maybe the first time coming to an Easter vigil, and you're like, what the heck are we doing? So, in the beginning, we started with the fire, right? And we lit the Easter candle. The Easter candle represents Jesus. So we'll be having the Easter candle with us all Easter long. It's a symbol of Christ's presence, just as we have other symbols. And then we came into the church, and it was dark. And that's both kind of twofold. There's the idea of Christ coming into the world, and all of us receive Christ's light, right? So we all got the little candle, and now we are little Christs out in the world, bringing the light of Christ in different places. There's also this idea of creation, right? That God created, He spoke, and things became. So there's that two elements going on there. And then we had a nice Bible study, Catholic style, all in one night. We got the whole Bible, right? The whole Old Testament. We covered the whole thing. And I know the girls were really happy that we had baptisms, because then they got to do For the Deer Who Longs, or whatever that last one is. They love that one. So thanks, Jared. Thanks, TJ. You guys made their day. So we have this progression, right? We kind of go through this liturgy. We're making our way through salvation history. And now the lights come on. Jesus is present. We're in the New Testament. Things are happening, and God is with us. He's been born. He's coming among us. And so we really live out the whole story of the Bible in one night as best we can. So that's just a little explanation in a small way of what this is all about. There's a lot more, but I'll spare you. I want to talk about three points, I guess. One is, for a long time, the church has tried to evangelize mainly through the family, how we raise our families, right? We get Catholics by raising our children in the faith. That's been a long-standing tradition for many years. And yet now we find ourselves in a new time when that isn't always working. So just looking at my own family, my dad's side is the side that's Catholic. My mom's side is the Lutheran side. So my dad had, there were seven kids in his family. Now six of those kids still practice, which is pretty good. Pretty good. There were 14 grandkids. So I'm a grandkid. And of those 14, I think there are about 4 to 6 that are practicing the faith. So we've seen this change. And I don't know if you look at your own family, if you see a similar dynamic. Maybe not. Maybe your family is very blessed. I hope so. But I think in many ways we look around the world, there's this new dynamic that we're struggling with to hand on the faith to the next generation. We're not always doing a good job of that for whatever reason, right? There's lots of reasons. We're facing a lot of challenges. So we're kind of back to where we started in some sense, the apostolic times, right? In the early church, the apostles, the disciples who followed Jesus, the ones who knew Jesus, what did they do? They went around and they lived as Christians, and people saw them living and said, it's a little different. What's that about? And they got curious and they started saying, hey, I want to learn about that. So we're kind of back to that in some ways. We live in a culture that needs to be reintroduced to the gospel, to be reintroduced to the mystery of our faith. So we're going to be, I think, a lot of times catechizing adults in the years ahead. Not so much our children. We need to catechize our children too. But we as the community, the church, need to be kind of eyes up and say, who is God going to call to the church through me? You know, maybe I don't have a family. Maybe I'm single. Maybe I'm divorced. Maybe I'm, I don't know what our situation is. Maybe I don't have children. God can still work through you, right? It's not just through the children that we're raising up the faith. Relational ministry is a big thing these days. Maybe you hear that word. So growing in Christ together as a community of believers, living our faith. It's a little messy that way, isn't it? It'd be nice if we could just baptize our kids and that was all we had to do, right? That everybody would just follow along and it would work great. But it's not working that way so much anymore, so it's a little messy. We got people coming in from all different directions. You know, we have church doors, and you'd think people would come through the doors, but the reality is people are coming through the windows. They're coming down the chimney, they're tunneling underground, and they're coming up in the basement. They're coming all different ways. That's what I'm finding in these last couple years, is people are coming to the church looking for something. Maybe they don't even know what they're looking for, but they're coming. It's kind of amazing. It's a mystery. Why are they coming? What is it that they're looking for? And why are they coming here? With our brokenness, says the Catholic Church, why are they come here? And in some sense, we're not really organized for that. We're kind of organized more for the old way of like, raise your kids in the faith, baptize them, catechize them, do the thing. Once they are confirmed, send them out in the world and repeat, right? So we're not really organized for this new way of kind of encountering people who need to hear the message in a new way. So really the new way is the old way, the apostolic way. Meet Jesus through someone, some personal encounter, and that's how we're going to spread the faith. We have to be living and working and breathing and talking about Jesus in our lives. And we have seven people tonight who are joining us in the church. That's beautiful. It's exciting. And I think if we looked at each of their stories, for some reason they encountered somebody who exemplified the faith to them. Now maybe I'm wrong, but I think if I ask you guys, the typical path is we meet someone. And they are intriguing to us. And we start to want to understand them. Or maybe we get married to a Catholic. I don't know. Sometimes it works different ways, right? But there's a reason they're here. And it's not because they read a newspaper or they read an article and was very convincing. There are those Catholics too. That does happen. Intellectual conversions. But most often it's through a relationship. We encounter Jesus through someone else. So I just want to say to our candidates and catechumens, I'm so grateful to have been walking with you since October, I think, is when we started meeting. It's been a beautiful journey to see your interest, your growth, your desire, your perseverance. You come to things like this and you're like, what did I get myself into? Never going to get to bed tonight. So it's been beautiful to walk with you, and it's been a treasure. And to all those who have been catechizing them, the teachers who have come on Thursdays and worked with them, I'm grateful for your presence as well. I want to speak to the community that these are our new brothers and sisters. They're here. We need to find a way to reach out to them, right? There can be an experience for a new person coming to Mass. Maybe they're even a Catholic, but they just come to a new place. There can be an experience where I come to Mass and nobody says anything to me. Nobody greets me. Nobody talks to me. It's like they don't even see me. They don't ask how I am. They don't invite me to sit with them. And in the end, what do you think that person's going to end up doing? Think they're going to keep coming? It takes a lot of faith to keep coming if that's your experience. It takes a lot of faith. Some people have that faith. But the reality is, we need to help them. Anyone who's new, not just these seven, but anyone who comes, we need to, those of us who, this is our parish, this is where we belong, we need to have eyes to see those people who need to be accompanied. Maybe it's even a brother or sister who's been there for years. And we just need to say, hey, I see you. How are you? Good to see you. I'm glad you're here today. What's going on in your life? I see you're struggling, or I see there's things going on, or I heard about this. Your kid is doing great in sports. You know, just see one another. Be aware of one another. We need to have those eyes up to see one another because we are a community of believers, not a bunch of individuals who come here and do our private little thing and then all leave. We're a community. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. So as a favor to me, please make an effort to greet and welcome not just these seven. Please, yes, them too, but anyone who comes to the door, and you just recognize, you know, now I've been there. Are you new? No. Oh. How long have you been coming here? Years? Oh. You know, it happens. It happens a lot. If you're going to try it, it's going to happen a lot to you. But you got to try. Meet new people. It's okay, you know? And for those people that were always asking you if you're new, be gentle with us. We're trying to be kind. So as a favor, yeah. Welcome those new spiritual children of mine. I'm grateful for them. Okay, let's get to what tonight is about. We're celebrating Christ's victory over death. We're celebrating the astonishing news that the tomb was empty on Sunday morning. That they went to the tomb and Jesus had risen. There was a talk at the SEEK conference this year. I don't know if you've heard of SEEK. I know some of you were there. Monsignor Shea gave this talk. And he was just saying, I'm the bad news priest. He had to talk about how things are bad, right? How terrible things are. So he talked about this tidal wave of problems that we're experiencing. And he's a university president. So he's talking about, you know, all these kids who are depressed and sad, and our culture is broken, and we have broken families, and there's division in the church, and we are angry about politics, and broken friendships, all the bad stuff that we deal with as humanity right now. So he's talking about that. And, you know, he was also saying that parents or people come up to him and say, what are you going to do about Monsignor? What are you going to do to fix that problem? And he's like, we have counselors, and we do things, and we try to help. But he's like, when I'm honest, I want to say, maybe this is the right response to all these problems, that we're sad. Because we live in a world that has turned its back on God. We no longer see God. We no longer know God. And so to be sad, to be depressed, to be hopeless, in some sense, is the proper response when we don't know God. When all we have is ourselves. And that's what he was kind of saying is, if we don't know God, then maybe these kids are right. Maybe that's the proper response to what's going on. And the good news then is, we know Jesus. We know who Jesus is. We come to meet him. Jesus is the answer. I hope you know that too. He's the answer to all of our struggles. And this is some information that we need to share with the world around us, right? This is great joy. This is exciting. Let's talk about it. Let's share this news, right? Keep presenting about who Jesus is, the truth of who Jesus is and what he came to do in a world that needs to hear that message. We, who are here, in some sense, we're called to share that message. We're called to go out beyond these walls and to share that good news. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see what God is going to do. I don't always remember that, but I remember thinking as a young priest in seminary even, thinking, what is the world going to be like by the time I die? What are we going to be dealing with? I don't know. But it's going to be an exciting ride, whatever happens, because it's just going to be lots of things happening. So it's an exciting time to be a Catholic. It's an exciting time to be a Christian, because we have the chance to witness to the world. We have a chance to be different than the world. To be a disciple, to be one who is called to be great. So I hope each one of us can find some way to cooperate with what God is doing. Not only here in Crosby, not only in our state of Minnesota, or our country, but our world, our universe. God is acting, and we are part of that story. We get to be a part of that. That's a beautiful thing. So in a moment, we're going to be doing some sacraments. I think we're about halfway through Mass. Hope that's not a problem for anyone. So, but this is the good news. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. So brothers and sisters, happy Easter. Thank you for being here.